This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Protesters in the Occupy Boston movement have not left their encampment in Boston's Dewey Square, not after 129 demonstrators were arrested by Boston police in the early hours of this morning for attempting to expand their protest into other parts of the Rose Kennedy Greenway. Here's Philip Anderson, Occupy Boston spokesman.
200 police in riot gear moved in. It got kind of brutal. Veterans, union workers, students were thrown to the ground, put in headlocks.
It was the most heated moment in the week-and-a-half-old protest. Here's how Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis described the situation to WHDH-TV.
We had a great relationship for about 10 days, but this last 24 hours have been tough. A group of anarchists have started to run the agenda, and they weren't listening to us or working with us.
So will Occupy Boston go on? Yes, says protester Lisa Doherty.
If anything, it's going to grow, you know, and that's what we're hoping for.
But apparently that's exactly what Boston Mayor Tom Menino says he's not hoping for.
Enough's enough. I mean, we will tolerate demonstrations, we'll tolerate expressions of free speech. But when it comes to civil disobedience, we have a real issue with that.
That's Boston Mayor Tom Menino speaking with WBUR a little earlier today. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa is at the Occupy Boston encampment in Dewey Square. He joins us live now. So, Adam, what is the latest at the scene in Dewey Square?
I'd say it's almost eerie how calm it is. At the moment, much of the core group of protesters is away from the encampment for the first time in over a week because they're down at Municipal Court near Haymarket providing a presence for the 100-plus people who were arrested last night. They say they've raised more than $4,000 in bail money, and people are just gradually trickling out of the courthouse as they post bail. But in the meantime, the mood back at the encampment is very sober, very calm. And adjoining it is the usual Tuesday Dewey Square Farmers Market, which provides an interesting contrast. So between all the farmers market shoppers who are kind of milling around touring the encampment and all the press people, such as myself, who are doing the same, and there are a lot of us, there's kind of a weird gallery-like vibe going on, I have to say.
Adam, you know, we heard a little bit earlier in that piece of tape from Boston Commissioner Ed Davis. He said that an anarchist sensibility or group has moved in and changed the tone of Occupy Boston. Does it feel more militant to you?
At 3 o'clock on Tuesday, absolutely not. People are very upset about what happened here last night, but you know, superficially, the basic composition of the group is unchanged. You got your super organized young people with all their Apple gadgets in their media tents who are beaming this stuff all around the world. And then you got your kind of punkier kids who are hanging out around in their smaller groups. It kind of reminds me of high school.
There have been some reports, though, that police used aggressive techniques. Some of the protesters even said it bordered on brutality during the arrests that they made early this morning. What are protesters telling you about that?
Yeah, people are profoundly disturbed by what happened. The encampment, as you mentioned, had spread into this adjacent greenway parcel, and the authorities did not want the tents there, so they cleared that portion of the park by force. And everyone I've talked to here is saying the same thing, which is that they feel the arrests last night were strategic, that they were aimed at specific members of the organization, people in leadership positions, the legal observers, and they say, most disturbingly, members of Veterans for Peace who have been out here in force, and a number of whom were arrested last night. A Vietnam vet that I talked to who was not arrested was a gentleman named Bob Funk. He was here last night, and he's here today waiting for his brethren, as he called them, to bail out. And here he is explaining what he saw happen.
Veterans for Peace got in front of the kids to make sure they were protected, and they were hit right off the bat, as well as medical people here. It was a bit of a rampage. I saw one cop throwing a tent up in the air. That was ludicrous. What is this, Genghis Khan going in there? It's a bunch of kids.
So regardless of whose perspective one takes, it seems like the mood has changed at least a little at Occupy Boston. So what's next? What are they telling you, Adam?
Well, as you mentioned, Mayor Menino said on WBUR this morning, he said enough is enough, and he's planning to potentially clear Dewey Square at any time. And I've been asking around to see if people here are thinking about maybe moving camp preemptively or maybe taking it to the common. And everyone expects this to be the main topic of conversation at this evening's General Assembly, which is their nightly public meeting. But here's what one young man told me. This is Philip Anderson. He's a recent college from Western Mass.
We are going to grow. We, out of necessity, won't be able to keep everybody here, so we will be putting tents up in other places. Ideally, we would like to have some kind of approval from the mayor's office or from Boston Police, but if that's not the case, we will be prepared to deal with the same situation we did last night. We are very prepared. We executed it flawlessly, nonviolently, peacefully, and we're prepared to do that again if it comes to that.
That's the Occupy Boston protester Philip Anderson. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa is at Dewey Square reporting for us. Thanks so much, Adam.
You bet, Magna.
So what does the arrest of 129 protesters earlier this morning say about the state of the First Amendment in Boston? When the protesters began their occupation of Dewey Square about 10 days ago, Boston Mayor Tom Menino said he sympathized with their concerns about growing economic inequality in the country, and he expressed support for their right to free speech. This morning, he told WBUR he's still sympathetic, but the mayor also said the day will come, and it will come soon, when the protesters will have to leave.
I think, we got to try to work with them as best we can, but there is a time very shortly that we hope to ask them to leave the encampment. These type of demonstrations have to end. It's costing a lot of resources for the city of Boston.
That's Boston Mayor Tom Menino talking earlier today to WBUR. Well, joining us now to talk about the Occupy Boston protests, this morning's arrests, and free speech rights is Carol Rose. She's executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. And Carol Rose, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Great. Anthony Magna, nice to be here.
So give me your response to what you heard very quickly about what happened earlier this morning about these 129 arrests. What did you make of them?
Well, public streets and sidewalks in a public park, which this is, since time immemorial have been a place for peaceful expression, and this has been peaceful expression. So these arrests done under the cover of darkness really raise a lot of legal questions and concerns that the ACLU and our partners at the National Lawyers Guild and other places are very concerned about.
Such as?
Well, I think there's a real question about whether or not this is protected political speech. There's nothing to suggest that it is anything other than the highest level of political speech, which has the highest level of protection under the First Amendment. To be sure, while time, place, and manner restrictions are allowed, it's not clear that this was reasonable and that there were no alternatives other than waiting until the middle of the night to go in and to arrest people, including legal observers, medics, obviously the Veterans for Peace that was discussed about, and other people. Over a long holiday weekend. It seems that there are a lot of legal questions and a lot of policy questions about whether this was the appropriate way to handle what otherwise has been peaceful political protest, which traditionally is protected under our Constitution.
Now, Carol Rose, you heard Mayor Menino saying there will be a time when the protesters will be asked to leave Dewey Square. He's gone on to say today that the protesters won't be allowed to tie up the city. What's your response to that? Does he, as mayor, have a right and an obligation to ensure that the city can function as it must?
Well, first of all, to be sure, of course there's a right to protect the city and public safety, but there's never been any indication from anybody, including the mayor, including the Rose Kennedy Conservation Commission, that there's been any problem with that. These people are very peaceful in their protests. They have not done anything to suggest otherwise. And second, it's sort of on the mayor's say-so, raises a lot of questions about the legality of that kind of discrimination or discretion, that if one day the mayor says it's okay and the next the mayor says it isn't, that's not a reasonable time, place, and manner restriction. And that kind of discretion isn't what the rule of law would require. Now, in other cities, even in New York, where the police have been even more heavy-handed, Mayor Bloomberg has said that he's not going to move the Occupy people out. Down in Washington, D.C., the city has come up with an agreement for an extension for them to stay for 4 months. If other cities, major cities, can come to a negotiated agreement on what's going to be accepted, I would think that Boston, the city on the hill, would similarly be able to come up with a policy. By trying to arrest people, especially doing it under the cover of darkness, in what, from all reports, is a pretty aggressive method, all that's going to do is inflame further passions and get more people out there and I think exacerbate the problem. If the mayor wants to keep this peaceful, doing what happened last night isn't the way to do that.
Listeners, we're talking about the arrests of the Occupy Boston protesters last night. We're asking you to chime in. What do you think of it? Was it an infringement on the right to free speech and assembly, or did the city have the right to make sure to do those arrests to maintain order? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston, and we're joined right now on the line by Carol Rose. She's executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. And I want to say that we did ask someone from the mayor's office as well as from the Boston Police Department to join this discussion about what happened earlier this morning, but we did not get a response, or neither office could offer a guest to join the program to make someone available. Carol, I want to ask you about the permitting process because, and I sort of wanted to take advantage of your expertise a little bit here just to try to understand the way the law works. I'm looking at a document right now. This is a statement from the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy, and Dewey Park is a part of that. And I'll just read three lines out of this. The Rose Kennedy Greenway is a public park and is available by law for the expression of free speech. According to the 2010 Greenway Park Use Guidelines approved by the city and state, then it says, if a protest or other expression of free speech requires any setup, including but not limited to tables, chairs, tents, podiums, and amplified sound, a city permit is required. Occupy Boston is a spontaneous event. It does not have a permit. Does that in any way lessen its rights to free speech?
You know, I think it's a great question because, first of all, the permitting process in Boston is an incredible nightmare. It's a labyrinth. So if you're on one side of the street, you go to one agency. If you go to Faneuil Hall, it's a different one. Boston Common, it's a different one. You know, very few, even people with law degrees, have the expertise necessary to navigate the Boston permitting process. So I think there's a real question here about whether we'll use this opportunity for once and for all to try to clean that up. It's been a mess for a long time, and arguably the permitting process itself is so chaotic and set to the discretion of local officials that it itself violates some constitutional right to assembly and free speech. But setting that aside, there has been nothing for the last few days. There's been no comment that these people are being asked to get a permit, required to get a permit. If it is in fact a public park, it raises a really serious question about what reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions look like. There was no riot going on. There was nothing to indicate something had changed suddenly in the middle of the night. This is obviously something planned to carry out over a long weekend. There wouldn't have been an opportunity for the people at Occupy Boston to get a permit over the long weekend. So it just doesn't ring true that suddenly out of the blue, now we want to enforce permitting procedures where we haven't been in recent days. So I think it really raises a lot of questions about how the permitting process is applied in Boston with such inconsistency. And when there's been no public safety hazard, it really raises the question about whether this is a good use of police resources.
Hmm. Let me introduce another voice into the conversation. I want to introduce Ursula Mazni-Latos. She's the executive director of the Massachusetts chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, which has been working closely with the Occupy Boston movements. And Ursula, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, I understand you were at the demonstration last night or early this morning, and you were arrested. What happened?
Yes, I was not a participant in the demonstration. I serve as a legal observer. The National Lawyers Guild provides Occupy Boston with all legal assistance. We provide trainings in civil disobedience defense, in stop and search, and also we train legal observers who then serve at different events as our eyes and ears and gather information on any violations that they see on parts of police officers. And we also provide legal advice, and right now we will be providing legal representation to those arrested last night.
Sure. And tell me,
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I wanted you to tell me about last night. Sorry to interrupt.
So last night we had about 20 legal observers. We were preparing only to have four at the beginning, but because of tension that started growing around 8 o'clock, we decided to keep more people, and we actually call for some reinforcement, and at the end we had around 20 legal observers. So around 1 o'clock we noticed many police vehicles all around the square, and groups of police officers that were sort of trying not to be very visible, and they were in different alleys, and then around 1:35 police officers started moving toward the square, and around that time one lieutenant said that there was a warning, 2-minute warning, and if people don't disperse, they would be arrested. So we as legal observers, our role is to be to see what happens, what happens at rallies, and especially when there is any confrontation between protesters and police officers. So I position myself very closely to a group of Veterans for Peace. There were several individuals in this group that were a little older than other participants, so I was very close to that group, and it just happened that police force moved toward this particular group of
Ursula, I'm
of
sorry,
protesters.
Forgive me, I'm going to interrupt you only because our time is so short. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of chronology on the air since early this morning. What I wanted to get from you is, how were you treated when you were arrested? You've been in this situation before. I'm just curious your personal experience, what that was like.
It was very different. Last night was completely different than what we usually experience here in Boston. We had many police officers, which is very unusual. It happened that there were more than protesters, and police officers very strategically and tactically moved toward our group. So rather than just approaching us and arresting individuals, they really attack us. So first, one person would just grab, a woman was grabbed from the crowd, from the group of Veterans for Peace, and she was pushed to the ground, and there were four officers that grabbed her, pushed her to the ground, and dragged her so she lost her shoes. And then for I don't know what reason, but then they turned toward me, and they, even though I was just standing there and doing legal observing, and also three or four police officers, they just grabbed me, and I was not pushed to the ground, but they tried to put handcuffs on me, and rather than just doing it in a civil way, sort of, they moved my hands and arms up. So at one point, I really thought that they would just break my arms, and I told them that they were hurting me, that they were breaking my arms. So they didn't react. So only after my second plea, they finally lowered my arms, and I was a little comfortable. And then they move us to police vehicle that was standing and waiting for us. So when I was being moved, I noticed that several Veterans for Peace were grabbed, and everything was done by several police officers. We are not talking about one police officer approaching one protester. There were several officers approaching each protester, and so those veterans were also pushed to the ground and dragged, and then either carried or taken to their vehicles. And the point is that it was really completely unnecessary. The whole group was absolutely peaceful. Everyone was just standing and singing or chanting.
All right, so your sense, Ursula, was that it was unnecessary and probably a little bit of unnecessary force there. I'm going to let you go because we have a lot of callers on the line and I want to get to them, but I'm very grateful for your participation today. That's Ursula Masny-Lato. She's the executive director of the Massachusetts chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. Let's get a couple of calls here. Lori is calling from Arlington. Hi, Lori. You're on the air.
Hello. It just seems that, you know, somebody, and it seems like the mayor's comments reflect this, just decided we better stop this thing before it gets too big. And that's why they moved in. But, you know, freedom of assembly is freedom of assembly. It's not freedom of assembly until you get in the way or things get difficult or the city has had to spend money on you. You know, it's a constitutional right that really has no time limit. And I think that, you know, you can't just go in there and stop it because you've had enough.
Lori, we appreciate the call. Carol Rose, I want to read you a comment from Shayna Dorfman. She writes on Facebook, I work in the Dewey Square area and I support their right to assemble. But how do we distinguish between assembling in protest and squatting? The protesters have made a mess of a nice space and I'm glad they didn't get any more real estate. What's your response to that? And does that raise a credible concern that the city of Boston might have in your view?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a question about, you know, how do you distinguish? And the question is, who gets to distinguish? And it's, as Lori said, it's not just on the mayor's say-so. When is too big, too much, right? That's a question that we have a system of democracy in place that we don't just get to have the mayor on his say-so decide when enough is enough. In terms of the squatting, I mean, the statement from the Rose Kennedy Greenway Conservancy specifically says that the people have been agreed to avoid the planting beds. They've adhered to common sense rules of conduct. I mean, I walked through there this morning, and it's incredibly. They have recycling. They have trash, sanitation. It's actually an incredibly peaceful and well-maintained camp that they have set up. The fact is there hasn't been a problem up until now. And it's such an incredible waste of our scarce police resources to be arresting people, clogging the courts. There was simply no need to trash everybody's stuff when they went in. This kind of ham-handed response to peaceful protest is likely to actually just create more people coming out and protesting. And I wonder what Rose Kennedy would have thought. I mean, it was John F. Kennedy who said that those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. I think we want to keep this peaceful, and I think we want to give people a right to be heard. The whole Occupy movement is because people are feeling that their voices aren't being heard in our political system down in Washington, and this is a response to that. If we just shut this down with police tactics, what's the alternative that we're giving people if they want to be heard? We don't want them to resort to violence, and they haven't resorted to violence. The state shouldn't resort to violence either.
Again, I do want to stress we did ask the Boston Police Department to join us in this segment, but they declined to make someone available. We did get this statement from the Boston Police Department spokesperson, Elaine Driscoll. Last night, protesters were asked repeatedly to please return to the original agreed-upon area. When police declared unlawful assembly, individuals are lawfully required to leave the area. Although there was a level of resistance from protesters, our officers were respectful, professional, and proportional. If anyone had a different experience, they're encouraged to come forward to the department. At this time, according to the statement, the Boston police have not received any such complaints. Let's get a couple more calls, or one more at least. Sheila is calling from the Rose Kennedy Greenway. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I'm actually calling. I actually live on the Rose Kennedy Greenway immediately across from the area that the protesters have been camping. And I just wanted to voice my concern as a resident of the area that, you know, it has been incredibly difficult over multiple nights over the last week to sleep because of all the chanting and drumming, et cetera, that has been clearly violating the noise ordinance of the city past 11 p.m. And last night especially, it was going on, you know, very, very loudly all night long. And, you know, I know that there have been multiple people who have called to complain to the police who, you know, I guess said that they were doing everything that they could.
Okay, so Sheila, we got it. So you're a resident down there. Carol Rose, that sounds, I mean, respond there to Sheila.
Well, what I would say is twofold. I mean, first of all, in the middle of a mass arrest, which was, you know, ramping up all evening, I'm sure there was a lot more noise last night than there would have been on other nights. And second, my question to the police department in the city is, has there been any effort to reach out to the people at Occupy Boston to talk to them about the fact that they're outgrowing the Dewey Square space, which may well be true. So what are the alternatives? To talk to them about some reasonable accommodations with regard to drumming at night after a certain hour and things like that. I mean, these are people who you walk through, they're about, you know, the environment, they're about making a better planet. They're trying to be constructive, but they need to have a partner in the city that they can work with in order to be constructive. And going in and just smashing their stuff and cuffing them and rounding them up in a pretty brutal way under the cover of darkness isn't a way to inspire trust or cooperation for peaceable assembly. As your lead-in showed, the people who are at this point spokespeople for the movement have said that they're willing to talk to the city about finding ways to accommodate the growth of the movement. And all I would say is I hope the city will respond to that, because after these arrests, I think the movement is bound to get bigger.
Well, Carol Rose, I think you're probably right about that. Bigger in the city of Boston, bigger across the country. So these are certainly issues that are going to be coming to the fore in the coming days and weeks. Carol Rose, Executive Director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much.
And listeners, thank you all for your calls. The conversation continues at RadioBoston.org, so go there and post comments if you'd like. Stay with us. Up next, The Politics of Evil with BC Professor Alan Wolfe. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.